You are listening to AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca, broadcasting to all of Waterloo Region by going to prisonradio.org and supporting their work. I find it important, and the interview with Noelle Hanrahan that was on last week's show talks about it, why it's important to support Prison Radio and get the voices of prisoners directly out into the world, and not just get the voice of prisoners out into the world, but also to talk about the issues of prisons as well, and talking how do we get to a point of abolition? How do we get to a point of where social justice is a community issue, not something that we try to hide away in horrible conditions of constant punishment? Because that's not going to help build a better society, will it? No. Lots to talk about this week, as usual. I don't know how much we'll get into. Coming out of course, that piece from Simon Springer that I read for last week's show, fighting back against horrible news organizations is important. People that are constantly just given free rein to publish whatever damaging words they want, or plagiarized words, or words that reinforce colonial narratives, really capitalist narratives about how this place functions, and it's no good to see that here. And I'm happy that Professor Simon Springer fought back against that hit piece from Margaret Wente that just went after him for some reason or other. And I felt it was important to highlight that, and that's why we read that piece. Because for some reason there's all this discussion about free speech on campus right now, ever since a couple horrible people got shut down from speaking by community members. Not by the police, not by the government. The community shut them down. They protested them, they said no. And then they shut them down. That's how it goes. Don't bring your garbage to our communities. And yeah, there's all this, this is a free speech crisis of morality. And it's not the first time this has happened on campus in Canada, in the States, but specifically 30 years ago, free speech advocates were more willing to tolerate far-right voices than oppose them. It's now happening again. Those are the words of Michael Bucaret on AfricaAsACountry.com. No platform for apartheid. And this piece was kind of already covered in a shorter piece back in 2013 on the toronto.mediacoop.ca, and piece by Jordy Dent, quite involved in the Media Co-op, wrote a piece about Tony Clement, a former minister. I don't know if he's still a CPC. Yeah, he's still a member of parliament. People keep voting him in. Part of the Harper cabinet. But back in the day, he broke off from his law society and started a group to support a speech by a member of the apartheid regime of South Africa. And this is when South Africa was routinely admonished in the UN, found in violation of UN this or that. And Tony Clement, under the guise of free speech, brought in or tried to bring in this speaker, Glenn Babb. This piece just came up again with this No Platform for Apartheid article, the original by Jordy Dent in 2013. This one up on AfricaAsACountry.com, No Platform for Apartheid, it gets into how this is the same. Advocates for free speech are way more willing to support, to tolerate, to platform voices from the far right, extreme voices of violence of the far right, than stream voices of liberation from the left. And it's telling. It's telling. It's reflective of what these people are and who these people are. And people always say, "Oh, you're just painting everybody with broad strokes, and you're just generalizing." No, this is proponents of free speech have shown time after time who they're willing to to back. I mean, this latest thing on campus, why this has come up again, is Lindsay Shepherd and her quest to become a hero of free speech. But again, supporting Faith Goldie, a white supremacist, a so-called Catholic. Things that she's been saying online are quite ridiculous, including just the other day, where she, just the other day, this isn't like old, just the other day where she was on a podcast and she was hyping this 1930s fascist book. Hyping it. Well, let's get back to that. Let's take a break. I'm going to bring up that tweet so I can break it down a little more. We'll bring in some more in about South Africa and apartheid, but it is really interesting that we're going in this loop. So check out this Michael Bucharet piece on africasacountry.com, No Platform for Apartheid, and it looks into this issue with Tony Clement and his attempt at platforming apartheid proponents under the guise of free speech. Check out the piece from toronto.mediacoop.com from Jordy Dent, Skeletons in the Closet for Some Canadian Conservatives. It's a blog post, Tony Clement and South Africa Apartheid, back December 12th, 2013. Check those two pieces, and then we're going to jump to some more on this really interesting, these back and forth in free speech, South African apartheid, and the free speech warriors of today. Let's go to a quick song. The Day the Nazis Died, from Chumbawamba, here on AWOL Radio.
Es ist ein Antifaschismuslied und dieser nächste ist auch ein Antifaschismuslied. Wir sind immer noch ein Antifaschismusband.
The Nazis vanished without a trace, but battalions of fascists still dream of a master race. The history books, they tell of their defeat in 45, but they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. They say the prisoner of Spandau was a symbol of defeat. Whilst Hess remained in prison, then the fascists, they were beat. So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialize.
So why did they all come out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died?
The world is riddled with maggots, the maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats.
They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride.
And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Chumbawamba with Day the Nazi Died. Too bad it hasn't completely happened yet, as they note. So yeah, getting back to free speech and so-called free speech and South African apartheid, and we were just talking about Tony Clement and his platforming of apartheid proponents back in the day, 30 years ago. And now one of the big proponents of the Faith Goldie being allowed to speak at Lindsay Shepherd's event, the Laurier Society for Open Inquiry at Laurier, was Professor David M. Haskell. He was pushing on a free speech grounds. This is one of these narcissistic white dudes. He's like,
if she said anything that wasn't true, I would argue with her and use my superior intellect.
It turns out, and this was some tweets from Matthew A. Sears, he actually did his PhD at Potchefstroom University. That's a university in South Africa. The Northwest University's Potchefstroom campus is still rooted in apartheid ideas. Higher Education Minister Blaise Nzimande said on Friday, the Potchefstroom campus of Northwest University remains fundamentally an apartheid institution, if not an enclave, in urgent need of transformation, he said in a statement. He was reacting to a report on an apparent fascist initiation practice at the institution. This was in 2014, this article was written. So at Northwest University's Pottsfurstrom campus, where people were giving the Nazi salute as a problematic quasi-military culture on the Pottsfurstrom campus in South Africa. Might put into context a little more David Millard Haskell's tweets veering for the so-called... check out Matthew Sears' series of tweets. This one is Portrait of Laurier's Academic Champion of Free Speech. One of the profs on campus, at Laurier's campus, that was really pushing for Faith Goldie to be able to speak. Put some of his other quotes in a little more context. One of David Millard Haskell's tweets, Canada is undergoing the fastest rate of ethnic change in any of the Western world, and the effects are largely negative, according to former Canadian ambassador and immigration expert. Time to push against the censors and openly discuss the issue. Against diversity. Against immigration. Well, against immigration of non-white people, I guess. David Millard Haskell has issues with, and then also tweets about South African white farmers in South Africa, saying they'll have their land taken by the government without compensation, saying diversity cultists see this as justice, and says this happened in Zimbabwe in the 1980s to now. Interesting that it continues, the apartheid, support for apartheid speech, a support for that kind of divisive and supremacist white nationalist speech is still pushed as something we can do as something under free speech. Thankfully, the Waterloo community, the Kitchener-Waterloo community, came out to stop Faith Goldie from presenting on campus. I'd assume they'd be out any time that Faith Goldie is around in town, and she will continuously be no-platformed in Waterloo region. And why we keep bringing this up? Well, just the other day, I'm trying to find it. Okay, we're going to go to a song, and I am going to find this this other tweet that I want to talk about, looking at Faith Goldie's recent support for a book from a 1930s fascist. She said this was spot-on stuff or something along those lines. Let's go with a little Kieran Murphy. With Julian not at the station anymore, we don't get to hear so much Kieran Murphy. I feel the eyes of British spies here on AOL Radio. Get in there. Come on.
A man he once got me annoyed. He told me I was paranoid. He said that I had left my sense behind. I looked at him, says, tell me please, for the world is on its knees. Paranoid's a healthy state of mind. When there's cameras high up in the skies, can read the colour of your eyes. That's devil boys, that's a devil boys, that's a devil boys, that's a devil boys. They scrutinise the time and place, they read the wrinkles on your face. They wanna know the sort of life you've led. They'll watch you from a million yards, your emails and your credit cards. They'll put a f***ing barcode in your head. I don't think that it's just fantasy, that's biometric travesty. That's how they get you, boys. 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 High up in the skies, can read the colour of your eyes. And that's a devil, boys. That's a devil, boys. That's a devil, boys. That's a devil, boys. I wanna call my folks at home and spill my soul out on the phone. Meet my girl and take her by the hand. I'll walk the streets from night to dawn and bring her home and get it on. Do the things that Mother Nature planned. But I feel the eyes of British spies, special branch and MI5. And they're the devil boys, they're the devil boys, they're the devil boys, they're the devil boys, they're the devil boys. They're the devil boys. are the devil boys. Are the devil boys. Are the devil boys. Us the devil boys. Us the devil boys. Us the devil boys. Us the devil boys.
That was Kieran Murphy. Wish he still made music with I Feel the Eyes of British Spies. Say Wall Radio, Friday the 6th. Happy birthday to Nancy. We're talking about free speech. We're talking about how people, the free speech warriors out there, seem to have an affinity for promoting right-wing views of oppression, like apartheid, like white nationalism, like white supremacy. They seem to have an affinity with promoting those views over ideas of radical justice, of redistribution of wealth. And we had, of course, he started with the idea of Tony Clement, member of Parliament, Tony Clement, one of Harper's cabinet members, who broke off from the U of T Law Society, started his own group so he could platform a white South African, one of the invaders, to promote their talk about apartheid and the goodness of it. Well, same thing now. Faith Goldie is going to get shut down anytime she comes to town. She got shut down a couple weeks ago. Well, here, ex-Rebel media host Faith Goldie promotes 1930s book by fascist author advocating the elimination of Jews. This is from pressprogress.ca, released April 3rd, just a couple days ago. First saw it by Sean Craig up on Twitter. And I'm just going to read a bit of this. Faith Goldie claims the book is very, 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 very spot on. That's a quote. Again, Faith Goldie claims the book is, quote, very, 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 very spot on, unquote. If you're wondering what books Faith Goldie is reading these days, it turns out the answer is 1930s fascist propaganda that calls for eliminating the quote-unquote Jewish menace. Following last week's debacle surrounding her event blaming immigrants for the collapse of the white race at Wilfrid Laurier University, the former Rebel media host connected over YouTube with Aaliyah Stewart, a white supremacist Mormon blogger whose extremist ultra-right views were publicly condemned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. At one point during the hour-long video chat, Goldie asked Stewart, "Can I share with you a couple books that I wanted to recommend to people?" One of Goldie's recommended books for my Legionnaires by Cornelieu Quadrianu is described by the Southern Poverty Law Center as one of the quote-unquote canonical works of global fascism. A text published in 1937 by the anti-Semitic leader of a murderous Romanian fascist group that advocated the elimination of Jews. Quote, "This one is a little bit edgier," unquote, Goldie concedes. Although she claims she hasn't finished reading the entire book, Goldie stresses that it's, quote, "very, very, very, very spot on, given a lot of what the movement is talking about right now," unquote. The book's author was the, quote, "founder and leader of Romania's principal fascist movement," unquote, who has lately become a minor cult figure within certain corners of the white nationalist alt-right. Following last summer's deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, some at the hate rally were photographed wearing shirts bearing Cordonneau's image. In a BBC interview, Holocaust historian Radu Ayodnid said Holocaust survivors had told him the resurrection of the Nazis disturbed them deeply. When someone scares a Holocaust survivor, quote, "it means we have a problem," unquote, he added. According to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, quote, "in the years before World War II, Quadrianu advocated for the elimination of Jews from Romania. He promoted virulent anti-Semitism and nationalism, declaring unequivocally to his followers, quote, the historical mission of our generation is solving the expletive referring to Jewish people problem," unquote. It seems implausible anyone who looks more than 2 seconds at the book Goldie is recommending could miss the book's blatant and explicit anti-Semitism. The table of contents alone includes chapters with titles like The Plans of Judaism Against the Romanian Nation and the attitudes of the Jewish press. The largest section of the book is dedicated to the Jewish problem, also referred to by Goldie herself as the Jewish question. In total, variation of the word Jew appears at least 600 times in this book that runs just under 250 pages in length, including explicit calls to embrace fascism as a means to remove the so-called Jewish threat. Okay, the book, which expresses admiration for Hitler and the Nazis on multiple occasions, also delves into junk science to justify the elimination of Jewish people. All right. Enough of this Press Progress article. There's some updates on this, though, and I guess we'll read them. So again, this is Faith Goldie talking about how this book is very, 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 very spot on. That is four varies. Well, guess what? Apparently, before Faith went on that podcast, she hadn't actually finished reading the book, saying now after this, I saw this from account SDB Craig or Sean Craig on April 3rd when he read this article from Press Progress. And some minutes later, after the article was posted, Faith Goldie has retracted her endorsement of the book For My Legionnaires, claiming she was unaware of the disturbing line later in the book. We already talked about the table of contents. But Faith Goldie's tweets, it's now come to my attention that there's a disturbing line later in the book, and I wish to state for the record, I do not endorse it. She says, I expressed the book's themes were spot on when one considers topics frequently discussed among the dissident right today, and I stand by that. The early part of Cordenou's activism saw him in a crusade against the modern world, battling liberalism, political corruption, Marxism, So she obviously didn't read more than perhaps the table of contents and the first bit. Well, I think that's her argument, that she only must have read the table of contents and the first bit, because there's some really disturbing passages of this book within the first few pages, within the first few dozen pages, well before page 100, where the first call to eliminate Jewish people is called for. So again, this was Faith Goldie. This was the person that was shut down from speaking. This is why she was shut down from speaking, because it's obvious she's a white supremacist. She's fronting more and more and more and more as a Nazi. You can't get away from that when she is continuously pushing forward all of these white supremacists and all these white nationalist speakers. We can't just say, oh, well, she's just talking about them. They're just having discussions and free speech and yada yada. No, you de-platform, you no-platform those that have affinities for white supremacists, for white nationalists, for Nazis, for fascists. You don't allow them in the community. And I hope we don't have to. I think this is it. She can't possibly come out from this with people be like, you know, Faith just made a mistake. She's a good kid. Like she was defended the last time she did this when she got booted from the rebel, when she got outed for reading the white supremacist 14 words. You know, there's reasons. Just because other people haven't heard of her before she got shut down, that's why she got shut down. A lot of people are paying attention. Not everybody, obviously, because people were mad. Oh, I wanted to hear what she had to say. Why? We've heard it. She's expressed it. People follow it, and she gets shut down. AWOL Radio here on CKMS 102.7, Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca. Lots of action happening at the Kinder Morgan pipeline protests in BC. Keep your eyes on that this weekend. The Union of British Columbia Indian Chiefs, that's the UBCIC leadership, to take bold action on Burnaby Mountain tomorrow, about 2 p.m. Eastern Time. All of the leadership of the UBCIC are going to take action, march on the Kinder Morgan site, the Trans Mountain pipeline site, and work to shut it down. Over 170 people have already been arrested in the last few weeks. Support their opposition. Check it out online if you can, and support their actions. Take out, their locally, go after and bug and protest your local Liberal MPs who are supporting this pipeline expansion, this tar sands pipeline expansion. Shut down a pipeline of your own. Go protest Line 10, Line 9. You're still protesting, still working on them. Anyways, we are going to run out of time here on AWOL Radio.